Welcome to Juicing the People versus O.J. Simpson.
American Crime Story.
I'm your host, Adam Papagan.
And I'm J.J. Stratford. Every week, we discuss the latest O.J. Simpson television drama and fact-check it against our memories as Los Angeles natives who grew up in the middle of the ultimate media circus.
Images seen in tonight's episode are the real-life images of the trial as printed in the Los Angeles Times and various tabloid publications. Well, to quote Courtney Vance in this episode, today is the day.
Today is the day.
We talk about the finale of The People vs. O.J. Simpson, American Crime Story. You know, the ending, I've said this from the beginning. I like this show because since you know how it ends, since it's, you know, it's based on real things, it's about the emotions, it's about the specifics. And so that's what I really like about this show, People vs. O.J. Simpson. And the finale did not disappoint.
No.
But let's start off as we always do. Before we juice the finale, this week in OJ news. A lot of OJ stuff happened.
Oh, yeah. Just OJ is killing it in the media again. Mm-hmm. Pun intended.
Okay. Well, if it was intended. Yeah. All right. Well, first up, so I have some news. You know, I do the OJ tour of Brentwood. And Miss Lena Dunham went on the OJ tour. She organized a private OJ tour, and she loved it. It went really well. But she had some... That's the thing I love about the OJ tour. Everybody has their own little details, their own personal connections to the case. So I learned two things.
What was that?
Childhood friends with Barry Scheck's daughter. Oh, one of the guys who went on the tour was Howard Weissman's stepson.
Oh, wow. So she's like... Two feet in the dream team, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm adding this to the tour for sure. We went past the Ben and Jerry's where they had dessert after the night of the murders. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, it's a burger lounge now. She said, oh, burger lounge. That's Judd Apatow's favorite restaurant. So now we know that too. Brentwood, it's a complex place. And
is this the first celebrity you've ever taken on this?
Besides you.
Tour? Oh, thanks, Adam.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I guess so. You never know, though, who fame will shine on, who will become notorious.
Right.
Or infamous. So, yeah.
When it comes to O.J. Simpson, no one is as famous as him.
No. So. It's the biggest news, sports, and entertainment. And I don't even care about sports or news.
Yeah.
So.
Just entertainment.
The entertainment part.
That part, yeah.
It's huge. And then to celebrate our episode, Sally, our
greatest supporter. John Noble is pretty good. Sorry, not to pair them. Yeah. Compare them.
Mm-hmm. We had a new fan tell us about who's a flight attendant. Right. Tell us about OJ drinking orange juice
with vodka though, yeah. Which was a new twist.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we have a lot of great fans, but. Sally is really giving everyone a run for the money because she, to celebrate the finale, nicely made us this edible arrangement that commemorates the trial. So we have not seen this.
Yeah.
But it's going to rip it open here. It's beautiful. She sent us some pictures, but this is, I'm just looking at it.
It looks so cool, person. Thank you, Sally.
It's really amazing. So.
Okay, so there's a bloody handprint on it.
Yeah, here, do you want to open
this?
Let me
take the... Oh, my God. It has a rubber glove on the bottom.
Yeah, no, the rubber glove is...
Surgical glove.
Symbolic. So she sent us a message just explaining what all this is. If you're listening to the podcast, you can't see this, so I'm just going to read what Sally said. Here's the arrangement made for you for the show. The oranges represent the killer, OJ. Okay, that's a given. Used red icing to make a bloody handprint on the vase symbolizes the bloody gloves found at the crime scene, Bundy and Rockingham. The dark and white bananas represent a nation divided during the trial and the day of the verdict, white versus African-American communities. The dark and white bananas with dark swizzles represent the communities at the time of the verdict. The African-American communities had won and were on top of the world at the moment, if that makes sense. I added latex gloves at the bottom of the vase to represent the latex gloves worn underneath the leather gloves.
Yes.
So, yeah, let's...
What a work of art.
This is amazing.
Oh, and there's something written on the stick, too.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. What else? Well, I'm gonna celebrate after the show and eat this. But, and you know, the melon here kind of looks like a knife a little bit. So further symbolism.
Oh, yes.
Mm, great arrangement. Fresh fruit. Have some.
Edible arrangement. I'm going to have some grapes from on top of the world. Thank you, Sally.
Check out the edible arrangements in Boyle Heights. That's where Sally works. And
I think Sally's the owner of the owner of Edible Arrangements of Boyle Heights.
She does great work. Let me just move this out of the way here.
Yeah. It's our centerpiece.
And of course, as always, our sponsor, farmbox.com, delivering fresh orange juice to us.
Well, I got blood on my hand.
Yep. Me too, but it's worth it.
Yeah. Tastes good.
Tastes great. Here you go. Here's some juice. So, did you have any OJ news you wanted to talk about?
Let's just jump right in.
Just want
to
jump in.
Well, we went to see the creators and the entire casting crew.
We actually got a special sneak peek at the finale.
Yeah, we saw it Monday night, which was kind of a treat. In a theater full of other OJ fanatics that belong to the Television Academy.
Mm-hmm. FX spent a lot of money on that.
Everybody got a little box of treats.
Mm-hmm. But I think they're going to win the Emmy because of it.
Oh, yeah. For your consideration.
Not that they wouldn't have won the Emmy anyway.
It's Sarah Paulson's guaranteed an Emmy, don't you think?
Okay, what about Sterling K. Brown? Darden?
He's at least going to get nominated.
He was great. He should win.
He's probably going to be in competition with the Johnny Cochran Emmy.
Wow. Courtney Vance versus Sterling K. Brown.
Life imitates art.
Mm-hmm. Cuba Gooding, even though he plays a title role, he was hardly in the show at all compared to the lawyers.
That's what we noticed by the third episode.
But he had some lines. He brought it all. He kind of brought it all back around by this episode. That's one thing I liked about this episode is OJ was back in it.
Yeah.
It was kind of bookended with OJ right before and OJ right after.
This episode is more like the 1995 TV movie.
Like it picked up where that?
Yeah, it had a lot of similar beats to it.
Such as?
The party and, you know, it just had more like sort of happenings. Mm-hmm. Just the pacing of it or something.
Yeah,
I just felt more like that movie.
I agree. I'm, you know, the lawyering is great and it's interesting and Dream Team is great and everything. But the era I'm most interested in is life in Brentwood, that aspect of it, especially right before the murders, which is why I like the TV movie so much. And the OJ tour covers that. But
this show skips over Brentwood until this episode, really. Mm-hmm.
While we're on the subject, let's just bring it up. Name drop of the week, Brentwood.
It deserves it.
It does, because Brentwood was kind of, was hardly even in this. Very little time spent in Brentwood in this series. But that community, the way it is, really, I feel like, shaped the perception of this case and how things unfolded.
And isn't Brentwood somewhat, I'd want to say to blame, but a big influence of why O.J. Simpson wound up murdering his wife.
No, I agree, because it's like the small town mentality. Like he said, she said, very petty. If this had happened in the Hollywood Hills or something, I don't think it would be the same impact, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It's kind of like a celebrity suburb.
Definitely. Just a rich suburb for simple folk, I don't know. It's not as fame oriented. I don't know. Brentwood's it's a crazy place, man.
Well, Faye Resnick's book, she talks a lot about Brentwood, the scene of Brentwood and the wives that were all friends. And it's a lot of gossip that kind of makes you know, that kind of fills you in on the how tight of a community it was.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like a high school, Brentwood High.
Yeah.
It's like adults living this high school lifestyle.
It really is. I totally get that.
Mm-hmm.
So the episode opens up with OJ doing a statement, but not before the jury, just talking. I don't remember that happening. Do you?
I do, but I didn't remember it clearly. I remember that he really wanted to get on the stand. I remember that being something that was in the paper a lot.
And I remember all of his facial expressions were kind of a joke. There's like an SNL sketch where they're just saying stuff and OJ was reacting. Like, I think we're going to order Chinese for lunch. And he kind of like make a face. Like, it was good. So I didn't realize he ever
took the stand. They had a really hard time keeping him quiet. So I think that they just thought, we've got this case in the bag. Let him say two sentences to the court. But the jury wasn't in the room when he said it.
They weren't there for a lot of the stuff, though. Yeah. Which is why it was able to get so sensational. But so he, the final statements. Did you think the speeches that the lawyers gave, were those based on the real speeches?
Oh, the final statements? Mm-hmm. Yes. Especially Marcia Clark's. I was like, oh, this is just like pretty much word for word. And a lot of people criticize Marcia Clark on her final statement.
Because she brought closing argument so much?
Mm-hmm. Dominic Dunn was real critical of her.
What did he say?
Her closing argument. He thought that, yeah, she focused on Mark Furman too much. Or she should have been. He said that she should have pointed out O.J. Simpson, like pointed to him with her finger and said, like, this is the killer.
But and Darden really, did that.
Mm-hmm. But I think she spoke first. So.
Mm-hmm. And only Johnny Cochran gave a
closing argument.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. I mean, it was all about him, though.
Yeah, at this point.
That's one thing Sally wanted us to talk about, is do you think Johnny thought or knew that OJ was guilty? It didn't matter to him. That's the thing about lawyers.
I think that's like a question you can't answer.
Right and wrong doesn't matter to them. It's about winning and making their point and their case.
And also, I think with Johnny Cochran, the goal of like saving this black hero from falling, that's like, it's almost like the murder doesn't even matter. It's like he doesn't want him to wind up in jail. He wanted to rescue him.
Mm-hmm. Because he was, you said this a couple episodes ago, he was obsessed with the LAPD.
Mm-hmm. In this final episode, when they show him, like, finally, the world sees what we have always known. And that was his ultimate goal, was to expose the LAPD. Which it did do, and I'm a little controversial about this, but, like, Mark Furman, he did put in a request for a leave of absence and like asked for help in the 80s because he was having too many violent reactions. So it exposed him as a racist, but I don't really think it changed the LAPD or it changed people's relationship with the LAPD.
No, definitely not. And Darden says that on the show. Who knows if that ever took place. I probably did.
The speech, I don't know if it took place, but that's in Darden's book.
Oh, it is.
That paragraph he was like saying to Johnny Cochran is from his book.
Okay. So what did you think about the 20 death threats to Johnny Cochran? That's what they said. That's what Carl Douglas told him.
I'm sure he did get death threats. One thing they didn't do in the show is that the courtroom kept getting bomb threats.
Oh, it did.
Yeah, several bomb threats during the
bomb
trial.
Bomb threats were big in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
You just call in a bomb threat.
Yeah. Hey, there's a bomb under Ito's desk.
Nobody has any way of knowing. Man, those are good times. So yeah, so they have the final arguments. Johnny Cochran's argument was great.
I loved the like genesis of him writing.
Yeah.
The one line, his one-liner.
Yep.
He's like, if it doesn't fit.
If the glove's too small, no.
No, that doesn't work. That doesn't really ring.
Okay, so here's something I was wondering. When you hear about that the glove don't fit, you must acquit, but he says it doesn't. So how did that kind of misquoting in popular culture come about? Because he says even in writing it, he's like, if it don't, and then he stops. But he says, if the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit. Like, he doesn't use, he uses the correct proper English when he says it.
I always thought it was proper English.
But when you hear people quote him, though.
They're just being racist.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
Proving Johnny's point once again.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I seem to remember when he was delivering that speech, he was wearing a beanie.
He was wearing the beanie. Oh, that wasn't in the show.
No. That was one of the weirdest
things.
That was
one of the weirdest and like funniest things, because you're like, this is like a day that's very tense and we've been waiting whatever 475 days to find out the verdict, and he's wearing like the knit cap.
Was it OJ's knit cap?
I think it was, yeah.
Why was he doing that? You do your research this week about the beanie.
Someone else will tell us.
Yeah, one of our listeners, please.
I think he was probably talking about the hair. This is not my research. This is based on my memory, but I think he was kind of going through all the discrediting the evidence.
And they had to cut stuff.
The hat, time. And then he went to the glove. That's what I remember, but I didn't like Google it. That's just what's in my head. Which is sort of, I like to trust more. A lot of the times while we've been doing this show, I just look up in these newspapers. I don't really trust what I read on the internet. So
no, you can't. Not at all.
Too many facts are hearsay. Mm-hmm. And like the creators of the show said, there's way too many OJ fact nerds out there. It's kind of a waste of time to try to be accurate all the time.
I wish they had the beanie in.
They should have, because it was a really weird thing. It was just so weird and goofy.
It was kind of like floppy on his head.
It was floppy, and he always looked so debonair, and then he has this knit cap on.
Oh, right before the closing arguments, that like, because you know, the family had to like wrap up a lot of like themes of the series. Mm-hmm. That zoom in on Gil Garcetti, he says, "Marcia, zoom. Nail this.
Aww.
Please nail this."
Were you heartbroken when Darden said to Marcia, "What if we won?"
And they're like, "Yeah."
And you can only do that on a show where you already know the ending.
Mm-hmm. From what I understand, both sides were convinced they lost.
I don't think the dream team thought they lost.
Because they seem surprised when the verdict comes in.
Well, you know, there's that little bit of last-minute fear you mm-hmm. might have, you mm-hmm. know. What if you don't win?
What about all the lawyers' plans when the trial is over that get interrupted? Do you remember what they were?
Oh, geez, it's in one of these.
Effley Bailey giving a speech in Laguna Beach. Johnny Cochran's going to San Francisco. Marcia is going to Santa Barbara with the kids. She got custody.
Yeah.
They already covered that. They wrapped that up. And then Robert Shapiro like wanted to box with Oscar De La Hoya.
Yeah.
And they all kind of give him the pushover.
That's the point in the show where it's clear he's the outsider of the dream team.
Kind of felt bad for him. By the way, John Travolta was at that thing we went to.
Yes.
At that premiere finale.
And I was so starstruck. I really he was far away, but I just couldn't believe seeing him in person.
He was so distinctive looking.
It was like I've been seeing this face. My first like pajamas I had as a kid were Welcome Back, Kotter pajamas.
Mr. Carter. Yeah, he's been around forever.
Yeah, so I was like, I've been seeing that face for so long.
Maybe the perfect.
And he was kind of trim.
Yeah, he looked great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was that
new
was
nuts. Hairstyle.
Mm-hmm. He had that kind of that grease. He was in grease.
Yeah,
it's crazy we saw him. Mm-hmm.
And they were smart to put him straight in the center. Mm-hmm. Like he really is like a Hollywood legend, mm-hmm. even though everybody else is like currently more famous than him. He still deserved the middle chair.
And he definitely brought some pathos to Robert Shapiro.
He did. I think he really cared about that character.
Mm-hmm. He wanted to do a good job. He's a great actor.
And he did admit that he kind of twisted it a little bit, like put a little bit of like his like incantations into his voice.
They all did, though.
Yeah.
They all added their own thing.
But usually John Travolta only talks one way, right? Never does he put on a voice. He always talks like that, though, but he doesn't talk like Robert Shapiro.
True. True enough.
He talks the same way in Welcome Back, Kotter as he does in Pulp Fiction.
Wow, Pulp Fiction, too. So many movies.
He's great. What Two of a Kind.
Yeah.
Saturday Night Fever.
Look Who's Talking.
That's right.
All the greatest.
All the such a good actor. No wonder I'm so starstruck. Such stones,
yeah. So jury deliberates. I thought it was great when they had that scene with the jury in there. I was like, oh, now I know why they did the jury episode. They had to bring these characters back.
Mm-hmm. You had to know who was like running the show.
Something I was thinking about when I was watching that scene. So like Ryan Murphy and John Singleton, the whole series, they're directing like John Travolta, Nathan Lane, like these big actors, these really polished, famous actors.
Yeah.
And then in this scene, the crux of the whole series, they have to direct these nothing actors. Like these like weird like central casting rejects. Like, no, like all those people are like not big actors.
But maybe this is their big break.
Probably not, though. It's such an ensemble like this.
Right, you're kind of overshadowed by.
So it just must have been weird. Like a weird shooting day. Like, oh yeah, none of the stars are here today.
Do you think they got the same kind of meal as like Sarah Paulson and John Travolta?
No way.
Right, I don't think so either. No way. They got like their set special chef meal and they probably got a PA picked up some food for them.
Because they only had like, because they had to be in every episode, like sitting there. They were there watching John Travolta act every day. But they just had to like sit there and go.
Wow, he was in Grease.
Yeah. Think about it. Demon. She couldn't. Why do you think they caved so quickly?
They're so sick of being there. And it's kind of been said that the jurors were fools or, you know, tricked into their decision. But I think that they were being played by the court and played by the media. The trial didn't have to be that long. 474 days.
Says it right there.
That's a long time. Yeah, I know.
Well, that's after the arrest. They were only there for
10 months.
I think it's like 266 days.
Yeah, it's a long time.
It's the longest trial besides Manson. That was rough. Yeah, so.
But I also read in the LA Times that they didn't really discuss Furman that much. It actually wasn't like a part of the decision making.
And they didn't discuss the DNA much either.
Yeah, not at all.
They had already made their minds up, I feel like, most of them. Mm-hmm. Were just mad.
So you think they manipulated the demon? Is that her name?
Yeah. I think, because she'd probably been getting hated on, like, the whole, for months at that point. She's like, whatever, I'm tired of these people.
I just want to go home.
Mm-hmm. So then, OJ, the prison guard, he had his whole cell block to himself. That was special treatment. And the prison guard liked him. He signed the football. That was weird.
Well, that was kind of a hint at the fact that he had really loose rules for someone in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the, he just, OJ has some kind of, like, carte blanche. He gets to do whatever he wants. Remember? But there was some poetics going on in that scene where he's cut. OJ Simpson is, like, shaving, and he's, like, shaving his neck, and he's like, I hope I don't cut myself.
Did he say that?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
He's all blade me, and then he's shaving.
Okay, so here's something I thought was weird. Like, because, you know, you can kind of tell when they, like, even the show's supposed to be realistic, but they kind of, like, one line, one thing will just stick out as being, like, so weird.
Mm-hmm.
When Johnny Cochran wanted the Nation of Islam to escort them into the courtroom, and Robert Shapiro's really mad, and he's like, these are the same people who say that some Jews are the devil. They think that all Jews are the devil. That was a weird... That's like, they like, what, they don't want to be on the Nation of Islam's bad side?
Well, yeah, would, yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't either, but I'm just saying, like, of all the groups to cater to, this is a hateful organization. Scott and Larry are Jewish. I don't know. I thought it was...
You better be careful. I'll tell them you're Jewish.
I thought that was weird. Some Jews are the devil. I don't know. That kind of like took me out of...
Maybe they had a right to say some because they were lightening it up for television.
It was just something about it that was like really weird and like that. That like just totally took me out of the reality of the show. I don't know. Something about that. I had that in my notes. So OJ is acquitted. Scene with the Goldmans in the car where they kind of foreshadow the civil trial. Hey, so here's something I found out that I was waiting to tell you till we were on the air. So I wanted to get action. Fred Goldman works at a Nordstrom's in Phoenix. Did you know that?
I knew he lived in Phoenix because my friend, maybe it's the same friend. Do you know Brett Sweat?
No.
Oh. He told me he sees him like once a week.
He sells ties at Nordstrom's.
Think he'll get on, be on our show?
No.
No.
So when I heard that was just so gnarly. He's like, because like people are like seeing him and stuff, and like his son's dead. You don't want any of this.
Yeah, I was surprised the show chose to show the Goldmans in their car, which I thought was the most powerful thing that the Goldmans did was when the verdict was read and Fred addressed the press and said that, kind of broke down in front of the press about
it. Oh yeah, he did do that.
And they didn't include it in the show. Instead they did this like fan fiction of them in their Mercedes. Like, what are we gonna do now?
Darden crying in front of the press though.
That did happen.
That was real. Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Well, have you watched the Oprah Winfrey interview with Christopher Darden?
No.
It's pretty good. He talks about that. He just said that he was up there and he felt like he was going to become another OJ or another Johnny and just like lie to the public. And he wasn't, he just didn't want to play the press game. He just broke down. Just sort of like a heroic thing for someone to do.
Mm-hmm.
What a loss. I mean, can you imagine how they were feeling? It's one thing to fail at something and not represent someone, but to do it on television.
What did you think of all the actual footage? Like the news footage, the Oprah footage?
I kind of don't like it. I think it's weird because sometimes they do... I don't know. It's weird. It just starts to mess with
the reality of it?
The reality of it. Like, I really want it to be like a full drama taken out of reality.
So when they put, like, the cop outside.
Yeah, because then it just messes with the truth or what the history is, you know?
One thing I thought was
weird. I don't
know.
How do you feel about that stuff?
I liked it at some points, but one point I didn't, when, like, they're like, could you please read the verdict? They hand it to, like, the court reporter or whatever, like, the stenographer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, the actual stenographer.
Yeah.
But then they had to have the stand-in for, like, the scene where she's handing it to the actor of Ito.
Yeah, that's what I mean, where it's, like, weird. It just goes in and out, too.
The, like, Back to the Future Part 2 thing? Yeah. Where they, like, have to match because Crispin Glover isn't there, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just sort of... It has to be totally one way or the other.
It was kind of nice to see the reaction, the real reactions of, like, black people being excited and, like, white people being bummed. Like, they're, like, sitting next to each other.
I have an opinion about that.
Okay, shoot.
And this is based on the time, was that when the verdict was released, I felt like the media made things worse because it's even, the perfect example is the Oprah Winfrey show. She had her audience full of people when the verdict was read, and they were seated with white people on one side and black people on the other side. So then all the viewers are like seeing a divide. But where I came from, I grew up in like a very mixed race neighborhood, predominantly black high school. And like, we all got along and were like involved in this thing together. So I felt like it wasn't the proper representation of America. I feel like it was the media just like making things worse. It would have been better if people were like, they were more integrated. I think it was the media that was segregating people.
Well, it was the media who made this whole,
yeah.
Like, this was, like, for the media. They,
At this point, it's making things really, it's unethical.
Yeah, but I mean, like, who gets into journalism because they're ethical?
I think a lot of people intend to. Lois Lane.
She is a fake person? No, I don't know. I just feel like this was just kind of like the... And then, you know, after this, the standards of journalism really fell to now at the point where headlines are, like, questions so that they don't have to, like, make one statement or another so they won't be liable. Like, it's, you know, I feel like this whole thing was, like, about the media, like, by the media, for the media. And then the whole thing kind of cannibalized itself. And TMZ came out of this.
We're going to do a future episode strictly about the media portion this.
OJ and the media.
Probably two episodes from now. Mm-hmm. Because there's too much to talk about. The media thing isn't even mentioned in the whole
mm-hmm. The media is a character that's not really...
Mm-hmm. But the media is underrepresented. Ron and Nicole. Mm-hmm. That's my only...
But the show was made by the media, though.
Exactly.
It's part of... Well, they had that vintage Fox News logo on there and stuff.
Oh, they've had KCOP, Channel 13.
Yeah.
Easter eggs for the mm-hmm. Angelinos.
Mm-hmm. That was great. See, we're being blinded by the media again.
Yeah, but I like to be blinded by the media, but I also like sometimes it's just too much.
Mm-hmm.
And that I really think that, I don't know, they didn't need to do that with the verdicts. I mean, there's like a lot of, they did it a lot in the paper too. Like they put these charts out here. They just show how people reacted to it. Like these are just like what white people think in the Burbank Leader. It was inevitable. It was a black jury. That's it.
Wow.
Crazy, huh? Mm-hmm.
Well, so when they were showing the people celebrating, you know, out in the streets and stuff, there's a guy in a chicken suit. Did you notice that?
I did not see that.
Yeah, they had like, which must have been a real thing. So somebody went down there every day with the chicken suit to like dance and party and stuff.
Why do you think they're dressed like a chicken?
Just
is that a reference or something?
I don't think so. Well, how many different kinds of costumes are there though? Like full body costumes. And again, this is pre-Amazon.com. So you can't just get any kind
of
costume.
That's true. It's like pre-internet. You can't mm-hmm. just pre-eBay. You can't just order up an orange costume.
So OJ is, you know, I liked all the aftermath where they like wrapped things up for not every character, but the Darden and Clark wrap up was a little disappointing. Not disappointing, but I don't know. I felt like they're just like, well, let's just go get a drink.
Cause that's what. But why did they have to go get a drink when they keep it in their desk?
I know. I thought that they were gonna pull it.
Yeah, I was like,
well, they needed to walk out to that Nina Simone song.
That's right.
Who's known as a civil rights activist. That must have been intentional.
Should have been a Doors song.
Yeah, it should have been. This is the end.
Yeah.
This is the end.
You know, that's what she wanted to listen to when she went home. There's, I don't think Marcia Clark listened to Nina Simone. She would nowadays, because the new version of Marcia Clark does. Mm-hmm.
Mark Forman definitely didn't.
No, he didn't.
So then Johnny Cochran is satisfied with his Clinton talking about it and stuff. So he got what he wanted out of it.
I found that to be kind of a sad scene because things really, this whole media fiasco happened and he got what he wanted, but really did it improve anything?
Well, we're talking about it. There's a show about it. Maybe. I don't know.
I think it starts with the police. They really, there needs to be police reform.
Yes.
With the way they treat people. Mm-hmm. Because it's, you know, whatever, 20 years later, it hasn't changed one bit, even after they sacrificed Mark Furman mm-hmm. and exposed the...
Well, Johnny was at least happy about it. I thought it was, just going back to the Q&A, do you notice how, like, most of the black actors refused to take a stand? Like, they were, like, avoiding the question of whether they thought OJ was guilty? They said that the time they were excited that he got off. And that this made them reflect on it, but none of them were like, because you know he's guilty.
Only Cuba Gooding Jr. avoided the question, from what I remember.
No, so did Sterling K. Brown and Courtney Vance did, too.
Oh, yeah, I forgot Sterling did.
They all kind of did. Well, and then when they were talking about Johnny Cochran, and then Courtney Vance was like, and then he died 10 years later. Like, they were, like, correlated. That was weird. I don't know. I guess it's still a controversial subject. People are still emotional for a lot of people.
Yeah. So it's hard. It's not a black. It's not black and white.
Mm-mm, it's orange.
It's orange.
It's not black and white. It's orange. So let's talk about kind of the epilogue to the series, which was those last couple scenes of OJ going home and realizing that his life was going to be different. So he gets home, his family's in it, they're very bitter and cynical about the whole thing. His son gets him the puppy. Why'd they show Cuba Gooding's butt?
I don't know, but when they showed it in the theater, everyone started laughing. Which I thought that was really funny.
Yeah. It was weird.
I don't know.
They didn't need to do that.
Maybe they were being like, reverse sexism or something. They show a lot of girls' butts. Maybe they just want it.
Not on this show.
That's true.
In fact, I've seen...
I don't really want to see anyone's butt on this show.
No, none of them. Maybe Connie Britton.
Faye
Resnick.
Faye Resnick.
Yeah. Or Selma Blair. Yeah. But she was hardly in the show at all.
She didn't even make the finale episode.
Mm-mm. They didn't include the Kardashians in the like the postscript either. With the Where Are They Now thing. But anyway, so OJ. OJ takes a shower, kind of symbolizing him washing away.
Washing away and just being in the rich life again.
And he started crying.
Yeah, he caught a reflection of himself in the mirror and started crying. I don't know if sociopaths do that, though.
But OJ has a weird, and if I did, he has a weird take on being diagnosed as a sociopath. He's like, well, all eyes are on me. I'm a famous football player. So, like, he
I'm
has,
sports news and entertainment.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe he recognized how sad it was as an OJ fan himself.
Maybe he just wished Nicole was there to hang out with.
Yeah. I do definitely think that he loved her and wishes that he didn't kill her. Or like that she was still alive and they'd been able to work things out. Mm-hmm. But so he gets the dog and they have the big Star Magazine party. Did you find any of those $400,000 pictures?
Mm-mm.
I would love to see him. So at the party, AC is still there, still being a good friend. And he wants his table at the Riviera. Now this was a popular contender for name drop of the week. Because Riviera is a real country club in Brentwood, just right down the street from where he was living. So he realizes he's not welcome there. Oh, what about the scene when like he's talking to the waiter. He's like, did we play golf?
I think that was because like none of his like white Brentwood friends came to that party.
It was because he starts talking about Jerry. He mentions Jerry in another episode too. They wanted Jerry from the club to come. I wonder who the real Jerry is.
Yeah.
But
I think once the before the DNA evidence, I think once the DNA came up, everyone was just convinced. Brentwood was convinced.
But I thought that I took that scene with the waiter to mean kind of like, because Cuba Gooding said that he researched CTE and he was playing the part as someone who had like head trauma, who like didn't really.
Oh, he was kind of like squishing his head.
Yeah. So I don't know. I kind of took that as part of that. So then Robert Kardashian puts his Bible down, takes the Bible out and leaves it at OJ's house, symbolizing losing faith in his friend, I think was the symbolism. Or, you know, it could have been, you need the Bible more than I do. But he needed the Bible himself. I don't know. I thought that was the symbolism of him losing faith. So he's out. And then OJ goes outside to look at the statue of his playing days. What happened to that statue, do you think?
I know what happened to it.
You know what happened to the statue? Where is it?
Flavor Flav owns it.
Whoa! How did he get it?
I'm sure there was an auction. OJ needed money.
Yeah. So where is it, like in Vegas? Where does Flavor Flav live?
I don't know where he lives, but it's in his backyard. There's pictures online. Oh, I'll put it on our Facebook page.
Yeah, because I didn't know about the statue. Wow, that's an ultimate piece of memorabilia from this. Better than the gloves.
Isn't that the best person to own it?
When Michael Jackson died, Flavor Flav went to the Jackson's house in Encino and like rang the bell and was like, hey, I'm really sorry. Like he made like a house call. Flavor Flav is one of
us. He's a good person.
He is. And he has a million kids. Also, when Michael Jackson died, it was a little off subject, but yeah. You know,
no, Michael Jackson always comes up.
Yeah, MJ always comes up. He was in this series even. Mm-hmm. I went to UCLA where like he died, like the hospital, mm-hmm. and a bunch of people gathered. And New York from Flavor of Love was there. Like, just she was also interested. That's something that her and Flavor Flav had in common.
Oh, really? Oh,
wow. They both were interested in Michael to the point where they would come see things.
So, I can't wait till Flavor Flav calls you for OJ Simpson tour.
Oh, man. Him and, like, all of his kids. I'll have to get a school bus or something.
Oh, my God.
Well, Flav, if you're Mr. F, if you're out there listening, if you want an OJ tour, it's on the house. But I want to visit the statue. I want to see the OJ Simpson statue. But yeah, great series. Anything you want to add just to kind of put a cap on things? We are going to next week do it. Because even though the series is over, juicing the People versus OJ Simpson, far from over. We have so much more to talk about.
Maybe we'll just drop the American crime story part.
Yeah, well, we're still juicing the People versus OJ Simpson.
We're still juicing the people, yeah.
And it is an American crime story. No, I think the title can stay.
Okay, cool. They're not using it anymore.
Yeah. But for the next 3 weeks at least, we've got shows coming up. We have more to talk about. So we'll do a wrap up of the series and all the wigs next week.
Yeah, we'll do a bunch of, we'll count down some top performances, bits and pieces.
And then the Investigation Discovery show, the Esquire show. There's more. There's a new 30 for 30 coming out that's supposed to be even better than the last OJ 30 for 30.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots of it. You know, it never ends. Infinitely fascinating. So
the more you talk about it, the more it brings up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So look forward to that. But thank you for sticking with us through the duration of the series. And until next time, this is Adam Papagan for J.J. Stratford saying, don't squeeze the juice.
Wait, you have to read jokes.
Oh, the joke. Oh, my God. Thank you so much.
We can't sign off without a joke.
I already signed off. But, yeah, let's just pedal it back. That's fine.
Yeah, rewind.
Rewind. Okay, so this is a joke About.
Can you read two jokes tonight?
Yeah, okay, sure. I know we already signed off, but yeah, two jokes. All right. Now that the verdict has been announced and all the evidence is in, the bloody socks, the glove, the DNA, the spousal abuse, the blood on the gate, the blood on the Bronco, the motive, the missing knife, the shaky alibi, I think it's perfectly clear to everyone that the LAPD killed Nicole and Ron. So that's one joke. And in a recent interview after his acquittal, OJ told a reporter that, as far as I'm concerned, this trial and the American justice system was very unfair. By the time an innocent person gets done paying off his lawyers, there's no money left to pay the jury. Don't squeeze the juice. Don't squeeze the juice. We'll see you next week. Good night.
Good night.